to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word Power Daily Reading Bible Guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. Oh, beautiful days here in Colorado. I hope it is beautiful where you are. And if you're just going to bed, oh, may you have sweet, sweet dreams in the Lord. He is so precious. He's getting more precious and loving and merciful in my heart because I am getting to know him. I am getting to know him more and more and more. And I don't feel alienated from him when I do something wrong. Just like I was saying yesterday, you know, we all do stupid things. But when we confess to the Father, he just wraps his arms around us and says, I love you. Oh, it's so beautiful. Rest in the Lord. His life in you will continue to produce good fruit. You don't produce the good fruit. He does through Jesus Christ. He is the source. Let him be your great reward. Enjoy him and delight in him. Delight in the things every day. Don't say, oh, wow, I got to go cut the lawn again. Just say, oh, that lawn is just beautiful. Or, you know, I've got to go and do this or do that. No, enjoy what he has given you. We can change our minds. We can change our minds from negative to positive. And that's so beautiful. I used to be a very negative person. I did. Oof. It was just, I guess I grew up in this Germanic kind of family, both sides, where it was just very negative. And I'm so grateful to the Lord Jesus when John brought that plaque home because he was tired of the up and down moodiness of his wife. And it had Barbara coming with joy. I love that. And I still have it up on my wall, Barbara coming with joy. Every morning I realize how God has brought joy into my heart. Oh, God bless you, friends who have joined in. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. And you can always go to freedomstreet.org. Wonderful things going on. In fact, Chris has actually, he's putting the power pack on, and it's under resources, under power packs, and you can go there and order a power pack. Just leave your name and your address. It will come as an email to me, and there it will be. I will mail you a power pack or as many as you need. So remember that. Also, you can email me at barbara@freedomstreet.org. And you can donate to Call to Freedom if you've enjoyed this ministry, if it's been a blessing to you. You know, given it shall be given unto you. It's better to give than to receive. So those are words from God about how you can give generously, cheerfully, and God will reward you. Praise the Lord. Our memory verse for this week is It's 1 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles is about King Solomon. Oh, beautiful. 1 Chronicles 29:11-12 in the Message translation is, blessed are you, God of Israel, our Father from of old and forever. To you, O God, belong the greatness and the might, the glory, the victory, the majesty, the splendor. Yes, everything in heaven and everything on earth. Here, King David did not want to give any credit to himself or any of his achievements. He knew it was all from God. So to God belong greatness, and to God belongs might, to God belongs glory, to God belongs victory, to God belongs majesty. And in verse 12, he says, riches and glory come from you. You're ruler over all. You hold strength and power in the palm of your hand. And we know many, many times in the Old Testament, he's revealing the arm of his strength. the arm or the hand of his strength. And I believe it's Jesus. Jesus was the arm of strength that fought the battles. He was the commander of the hosts. So we know that Jesus is in some kind of a form off and on in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament talks about him all the time. I mean, the whole Testament is about Jesus coming. And in the New Testament, it's a completion and manifestation of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Friday, on the Encore program, I wanted to talk a little bit about that. And that's August the 21st. And if you'll go to freedomstreet.org, click on resources and radio shows, it was our Encore show. And Darren and I received a call from a mother in Portland. This is really good. And it's so it's serious, it's sad, but it's good. It's good for our learning experience. Her son was in jail on drug charges, and she wanted God to perform a miracle and get him released. Well, when Darren began to tell her that sometimes it's better to stay in jail and receive the time for what he did, she began to cry, and she was crying through most of the conversation. This program is so worth going back and listening to, because it's important to understand that God loves our children more than we do. We cannot be obsessed with our children, friend. We cannot think of them all the time and their well-being. No, it's not good for us. It's not good for them. Darren and I recorded a series called God Doesn't Have Any Grandchildren. It's true. It's number 7 in Darren's sessions on the freedomstreet.org website. It's number 7. God doesn't have any grandchildren. And all of our children are God's children. Without God, we would not have, you know, it's, without God, we would not have had success raising our children. We wouldn't. Oh, I mean, precious Kimberly was an experiment. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord God. Well, we found out that this mother was getting her financial support from her son. That's why she was, boy, she was in fear. And she was absolutely devastated with guilt because she was a single parent. We also found out that her son was 40 years old. 40 years old. Do you know that roughly over 50% of all young men live with their parents? Many of them with their mom because they've grown up in a one-parent household. Young men outnumber women because of economic pressure and fear of the responsibility that they will have. And they learn, you know, you're head of the family. Even though many of them have jobs, their excuses are they want to save money or pay off debts. A number of them live with parents after divorce when they have to pay alimony or child support. Oh, this is so sad. Darren and I knew a man whose wife divorced him, and when he got through paying alimony and child support every month, he had only 1/4 of his income left for himself. He was in a studio apartment with hardly any furnishings. It's just so sad. It's almost impossible to navigate. And if they don't know God, their life ends up in shambles. I know Darren went and prayed with this guy over and over again for a couple years. I hope he has his life together. Others live with their parents because of soaring house costs and student loan debt. So many parents encourage their sons and daughters to move in with them until they can get back on their feet. And they stay. And they stay because it's comfortable. Oh, be sure that you are not obsessing over your children, or you're not what they call a helicopter mom. Make sure you're not that. But you bless them as they leave. We give them roots while they're at home. Then we also teach them to go out. They have wings. And God and Holy Spirit gives them those wonderful wings. And yes, they make mistakes. They come back home once in a while. But oh, it's just so worth it to see them growing and maturing. Do you want to do something good for the Lord? Let's give the Word of God first place in our lives. We talk about it. Oh, I give God first place in my life. Do you? Let's meditate on the Word. You know, in Joshua 1:8, so many of you, when you send in your donations, you have Joshua 1:8. That's a scripture that gives you success when, see, we look at the word success, when we meditate on His Word day and night. And that's chew the Word, meditate on that word. And that's so important. Let's practice the word every day and get those fleshly thoughts out of our minds and become doers of the word and not just hearers. So important. You'll find that in James 1 verse 22. And let's pray in the spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:14-15 tells us that when we pray in the spirit, Holy Spirit gives us an unction as to what he will be doing with us. And I love that. I pray. It's not exactly pray anymore, folks. It's just talking to him all the time, whether I'm in the yard or whacking weeds or whatever I'm doing, watering, or if I'm in the office, just making sure that I've got the right lessons, or I'm in the house getting ready for food to eat. I'm always talking to him, asking him questions, asking him to direct my time. So let's pray in the spirit, pray in our tongues. And if you don't have a tongue, I would love to hear from you. You can contact me either by phone at 1-877-917-7256 or by emailing me at barbara@freedomstreet.org. I've got materials for you that you will absolutely enjoy and grasp hold of and learn how to speak in tongues. Oh, it's powerful. I'm not saying that you don't get to heaven if you don't speak in tongues. There are some sects that say that. That's not true, because if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we're saved. We're born again. But I'm saying that this tongues, this wonderful, powerful gift of Holy Spirit, gives us power on this earth to endure and to mature. So I hope that you can understand that. 1 Corinthians 14:14-15. And learn and decide to instantly obey the voice of Holy Spirit when he gives each of us instructions. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's go for it. Your spirit has a voice, just as a physical man has a voice. The voice of the body is the feelings. The voice of the soul is reason. The voice of the spirit is your conscience. It is a still small voice, as I was saying to you yesterday. You know, when you have done something wrong, your own heart will tell you. Listen to your heart, your conscience. Stay sensitive. Holy Spirit doesn't speak to your soul or your body. He speaks to your spirit. And you can read that in 1 Corinthians 2:10-12. If you let Holy Spirit direct you, he will always be in line with the world. Excuse me, with the word. Pardon me. What you're thinking of does not line up with the word of God. If you can't think of a scripture, then it's not the Spirit of God. God's word is his will. God's word is your plumb line, your foundation of truth. Many people are doing crazy things under the guise of being led by the Spirit. They're not hearing from God. They are listening with their heads, their carnal mind, and being moved by circumstances. Oh, I used to be moved by circumstances. It just doesn't work, folks. It just doesn't work. So I want you to know that the mind set on the flesh, the sense and reasoning without Holy Spirit, is death. But the mindset on the Spirit of God is life and peace. Praise the Lord. You've learned that God is love. You've learned that God is light. Yesterday you read, and we read together, that he is life, Zoe life. And we proclaim with John that the one who has life is God himself. And we must live in that kind of presence all the time. Learn to live in that presence of Zoe life, life abundant and free. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world. And that world is that which opposes God and his precepts. The world doesn't even talk of God. Well, maybe a curse word, but it doesn't even think of God. It doesn't think of counseling with him. No. And Jesus Christ, no. And so the love of the world, nor the things that are in the world, we do not think of and we do not focus on. They're not the most important things. We know that we need to be in this world. And Jesus knew that in John 16:16. They have to be in this world, Father God, but remember them, that they are not part of this world. So we know that if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world. Now here it is in 1 John 2:16. The lust and sensual craving of the flesh, Number 2, the lust and longing of the eyes. And 3, the boastful pride of life. That's confidence in one's self-sufficiency and in the stability of earthly things. We think that our house is going to be there forever. It's not. Or this place that we just love is going to be there. No, it won't. So John was already thinking about the things of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Those are the three trio of evil. And he got those, John got these three roots of the carnal nature from Genesis 3, verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, the lust of our flesh, and that it was a delight to the eyes, the lust of our eyes, our eye gate to the soul, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, the boastful pride of life. She took some of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some of some to her husband with her, and he ate. Now, these do not come from the Father. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the prideful, and the pride of life. This does not come from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away, and with it its lusts, the shameful pursuits and ungodly longings. Oh, I gotta have this and I gotta have that. But the one who does the will, it's like this commercial I saw on television where she says, do you know how much I paid for this brand of car that she got? And she whispers in his ear and he runs out and he gets a car. I don't recommend that. No, I don't. I don't recommend that at all. So the lusts of the flesh, they're pursuits and ungodly longings. But the one who does the will of God and carries out his purposes lives forever. Children, John says in verse 18 of 1 John 2, it is the last hour, the end of this age, and just as you heard that the Antichrist is coming, the one who will oppose Christ and attempt to replace him. Even now, many Antichrists have appeared, which confirms our belief that this is the last hour. They went out from us to be Christians, but they're not really Christians because they're not truly born again and spiritually transformed. For if they had been of us or with us, they would have remained with us. But they went out teaching false doctrine so that it would be clearly shown that none of them are of us. When I read this verse, my spirit comes alive because I knew that as I depended on Holy Spirit, he would teach me everything I need in this life. And he still does. He's still teaching me. I know that just after I started dating John many, many years ago, 60 years now, that God wanted me to marry this man. I knew when I started dating Darren that God wanted me to marry this man. It's because I knew in my heart, my spirit came alive. And here is a beautiful verse from 1 John 2, verse 20. You have an anointing from Holy Spirit. That means you have been set apart, specially gifted and prepared by Holy Spirit. And all of you know the truth because he teaches us, illuminates our minds, and guards us from error. John goes on to say, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it and because no lie is of the truth. He goes into then again, John knew that Satan is the father of lies. He says, because there is no lie in you and you believe the truth. He knew that Jesus had said in John 8, verse 41, that this is the Antichrist, and the leaders of the church that were listening to him, the leaders of the law in John 8 were listening to him. And he was speaking to them and saying, if God were your father, you would love me because I have come to you from God. I am not here on my own, but he sent me. Why can't you understand what I am saying? And every time I see the M, I capitalize the A. I am, I am, I am. It's because you can't even hear me. They have ears. Remember when Jesus says, he who has ears, let him hear. They have ears, but they don't hear him. Verse 44 of John 8 says, for you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. He was that way in the garden when he appeared to Eve. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. That's why John is saying, when we are born again and we are in God's word, we back away. Okay, we'll find out that we're exaggerating once in a while, and that's a lie, or we're saying things that aren't true, but we're going to back away from that and go to the truth every time. Learn more and more about the truth, more and more clearly about what Jesus is wanting us to learn. So whoever denies and repudiates the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses and acknowledges the Son has the Father. As for you, let that remain in you, keeping in your hearts that message of salvation, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning remains in you, you too will remain in the Son and in the Father forever. I like that. I like being in the Son and in the Father forever. And this is a promise which he himself promised us. And it comes from the 20th verse, where he says, you have an anointing, you have been set apart, and all of you know that he illuminates your minds and guards us from error. Okay, so then we go to the 27th verse. I love this. I learned this early on when I was married to John. And I realized I don't have to go get a diploma. I don't have to go get, because, you know, we had been kicked out of school, so I really didn't get my diploma. I really didn't need it. I really didn't need it for God, what God was training me for in this life. But we all think that we need to have higher education. We need to have more education. We need to have so much knowledge. Knowledge doesn't do that, folks. Knowledge doesn't do it. It puffs us up to be boastful. It's the truth, and the truth comes from Holy Spirit. Here's verse 27 in 1 John 2. As for you, the anointing, that special gift, the preparation which you received from him, that's Holy Spirit, remains permanently in you. That which you receive from the Father, the word that you have received and that you have memorized, it's going to come up in your spirit when you need it. I mean, you may not be thinking of a verse, and then you come to a friend, or you have lunch with someone, or you're in church with someone, and they give you a situation in which they need an answer, and this verse comes right up into your mind and into your heart, and you can talk to them. And you receive this, and it remains permanently in you. I'm speaking from 1 John 2:27. And you have no need for anyone to teach you. That's right. That's what it says. Holy Spirit will teach you everything that you need. But just as his anointing teaches you, giving you insight through the presence of Holy Spirit about all things. Barbara, he can't tell you about all things. He created all things. He sure can. I believe him. I believe him, and I receive it in Jesus' name. I hope you're doing the same. I hope you're not doubting him, or unbelief is coming in there and taking a lot of your peace. I hope that you are realizing that Holy Spirit in you is the framework and the power of the creation, and he knows all things. So just as his anointing teaches you, giving you insight through the presence of Holy Spirit about all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as his anointing has taught you, you must remain in him, being rooted in him, knit to him, because he promised that he would live with you, and that's where he is. You need to recognize him. Oh, friend, you need to recognize Holy Spirit as your best friend, your absolutely best friend. He is mine. He is my best friend. And now, little children, remain in him with unwavering faith, so that when he appears, we may have perfect confidence and not be ashamed and shrink away from him at his coming. Oh, praise the Lord. If you know that he's absolutely righteous, you know for certain that everyone who is conforming to God's will has been born of him. I just want to turn to John 16, such a beautiful chapter. This is Jesus' prayer to the Father, and also instructing his disciples right before he is killed and hanging on the cross. And he says here that, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, Holy Spirit shall not come to you. But when I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin. That's where the conviction comes in. That's where when he pricked your heart as a sinner, as an unbeliever, why did you come to Jesus? Because your heart was pricked. Holy Spirit said, it's time. It's time now. And you accepted him as Savior and Lord. He's gentle. He's wonderful. He's merciful. He's loving. And he comes to you as a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on you. And then he says, concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, when he comes to convict you concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. The world does not believe in him. And so we must bring that message of the gospel of the truth and love of God to all the others around him. And in righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer behold me. Praise the Lord. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of the world has been judged. Oh, was Satan judged when Jesus rose from the dead? Absolutely. And Jesus promised us in Luke 10:19, behold, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Friend, you don't have to fear. There does not have to be any guilt or condemnation in your life any longer. Even when you sin, remember, confess that sin. God forgives you and forgets. He forgets, and you need to forget in Jesus' name. And Jesus goes on to say in John 16, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And he came before over 500 people after he rose from the dead. And so we know that he had more things to tell them after he rose from the dead. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears from God. And you can find that in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 12, 13, that you have the mind of Christ. He hears and he will speak. He will disclose to you what is to come. And not that he is a genie or that he is giving you a horoscope of the future. No, but he is giving you spirits of discernment, spirits of truth, spirits of love, so that you can go before him and tell people of his love and his joy and his peace and get them involved in what he's doing. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. That's who he is. Holy Spirit is you, for you and for you all the time. Oh, God bless you and keep you and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.